You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 18th of November, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Just before we get into the podcast today, I will just remind listeners that I will be on Patriotic Weekly Review with Mark Collette on Wednesday evening, and we will be discussing my experience with the UK justice system on that. So I'm not really going to go into that today unless it actually comes up as part of the subjects that we're going to be discussing. But I wanted to take a look at the Prevent program and a couple of news headlines that stood out to me to do with the Prevent program. Hundreds of babies, toddlers, referred to UK's de-radicalisation program, Prevent. And the fact that they're having babies and toddlers referred to this organisation really shows that it's not fit for purpose. There's been so many reports that have been done saying that the organisation is concentrating on the so-called far right rather than dealing with Islamic extremism, because the people involved are frightened of being accused of being Islamophobic or being accused of being racist for reporting people for Islamic extremism. And yet the number of attacks by Islamic extremists vastly overshadows the amount of attacks that have been carried out by alleged right-wing extremists. And the fact that they are putting babies and on the Prevent program reminds me of a young lady that was involved with National Action a while back, and she was arrested and sent to jail, and I believe they took her baby from her as well. And I think that might be the reason why they are taking babies and toddlers or labelling them as extremist and needing for de-radicalisation is probably more to do with the parents rather than something that the toddlers may be saying at nursery school. But I'm getting this article from Breitbart, and they say hundreds of very young children have been referred to the UK government's counter-extremism programme before they've even had a chance to start school, the vast majority for Islamist extremism concerns, figures reveal. 388 children of preschool age were referred to the Prevent De-radicalisation programme in the 8 years leading to 2024, including 45 babies under 1 year old and 138 aged 2 or younger. The vast majority of these referrals are for Islamist extremism. Prevent is an element of the United Kingdom's counter-terrorism programme, CONTEST, set up in the wake of the 7/7 London terrorist bombings. So because this is Breitbart, they're concentrating on the Islamic side of this. But there is still a so-called far-right side of this that these children are being stigmatised with and being referred to Prevent, probably something like 30% of them. And as I say, this sort of reverses what we're used to hearing, that it's actually more people on the supposed far-right that are being reported to Prevent. So the fact that it's when you're looking at babies and toddlers, it's from Islamic extremism, it says that, well, perhaps they're actually getting it right. They're getting the right proportion there. But I think really the reason for it is that there are probably more Islamic extremists that are actually arrested and jailed for plotting actual terrorism plots, as opposed to so-called far-right extremists who may be jailed for putting stickers up. things like that. The figures were uncovered by Muslim interest magazine Hyphen Online, which notes the extraordinary numbers are the first time there has been a comprehensive breakdown of the ages of the youngest children referred to prevent. The report particularly articulated concern that while these very young children in most cases would have been referred to the programme because of their parents or guardians, the referral may become a stigma for life. Indeed, it stated remarks from campaigners who claim that once on the system, the records are never truly expunged, and the extremist label may follow them through life into adulthood through no fault of their own. Officially, the prevent referral entries have an expiration date if no further concerns are identified, but it was stated that the fact that an individual was under prevent can be recorded to other government and police systems that may last forever. Of the 45 babies referred to prevent in those 8 years, 29 were because the children were suspected of having been exposed to Islamist extremism. Of the 41-year-olds, 30 were over as Islamism. Indeed, referrals for Islamism make up the majority of all cases until children reach 9 years old. So if 30 were exposed to Islamic extremism and there are 45 babies that were referred, then it's a third of them that were referred for far-right extremism, which basically means that their parents have been arrested or prosecuted for something to do with extremism. Per the British government, the categories under which an individual can be referred to prevent are Islamist extremism, extreme right-wing, left-wing extremism, anarchist extremism, Northern Ireland-related dissident Republican extremism, Northern Ireland-related unionist loyalist extremism, environmental extremism, incel extremism, fascination with extreme violence or mass casualty attacks where there's no other ideology, multiple ideologies with no dominant ideology, no ideology, other susceptibility to radicalization identified, no ideology identified, pro-Khalistan extremism, Hindutva extremism, other religious extremism and other types of concern. So to me, what stands out there is you haven't got any reference there to anti-white extremism. And I think the most famous instance of alleged anti-white extremism was Rudy Cabana and the Southport murders that took place last year. And he was flagged up to prevent. And prevent said, well, look, we can see this guy has issues, but I'm afraid he doesn't actually come under any of our labels here. He isn't extreme right-wing or left-wing. He's not an Islamic extremist. And I think the reason why they sort of said, well, there's nothing we can actually do for him, is because he was anti-white. That was his ideology. He hated white people. And why did he hate white people? Well, because of all the propaganda that comes out of the television set and at the schools, which makes white people out to be the devils of the world and the source of all the world's problems. And this is a particular problem for black people, that they have all these books aimed at them, telling them that, all their problems are caused by white people. I mean, when I was in prison, in the prison library there, you had every anti-racist book under the sun you could think of, all sorts of Black Lives Matter books. And I did meet a couple of black guys in prison, and both of them were politically minded. They wanted to advocate for their people. They wanted to be good examples to their people. But the problem was that they were just reading this Black Lives Matter information, which was telling them that white people were to blame for everything. I mean, it's very good that black people stand up and advocate for their people, and that, you know, that's what we want to see. We just want to see white people doing the same. I don't have any criticisms of black people that get involved in groups like Black Lives Matter. What I have criticism of is the way that the information is presented to them, which seeks to blame other groups for their problems. And it's not like we can say as white people that we're exempt from that, because a lot of us blame Jews for all of our problems rather than looking at ourselves and saying, well, what are these problems that white people have? And what is the cause of them? Well, the cause of them is white people themselves. You know, Jews might add to that, they might benefit from it, but why would they not do something that they're going to benefit from? And it's the same with blacks. They read this information and they're taught that they should blame white people for all their problems. And instead of looking in and saying, well, what is the problems that black people have? What is this problem within our community? What can we do ourselves to fix this? And instead, they're told that they should just blame white people and ask for reparations. And it was slavery that caused all of this. It was colonialism. It was the empire. When it's really just whatever problems the black people have, it's within themselves to fix them. And it's exactly the same for white people. Whatever the problems are that white people have, it's within white people to find ways to fix them. In fact, that's what we're usually very good at, is finding a problem and finding a solution for the problem. So, as I say, I think what actually happened with Prevent here and with this Axel Rudi Cabana is that he didn't fit any of these labels because he was anti-white. And it's just accepted that that's a normal way to be, because that's what you see on the television and that's what you see in the schools. It's not seen as anything alarming to have somebody talking about decolonizing the curriculum, for instance, or getting rid of whiteness, eliminating whiteness. Whereas if you were to start talking about eliminating blackness, you would rightfully be called up on that and saying, look, you're talking about eliminating an entire people group there. Whereas it's fine for academics to talk about eliminating whiteness. And this isn't just a fringe ideology. This goes right through the whole education establishment. As reported, Prevent has come under scrutiny and criticism for its close interest in what it calls extreme right wing, even classifying extremely widely held beliefs on immigration as signifiers of terrorist ideology. The effectiveness of Prevent has also been questioned, with over half of all terror attacks in the UK between 2016 and 2023 having been committed by people that were referred to the programme. So instead of continuing to be watched, Prevent had said, well, there's nothing further we can do here. These guys aren't a problem anymore. And yet they then went on to carry out half of all the terror attacks in the UK. So I would suggest that Prevent is not functioning in the way that it was designed to function, which was after the 9/11 attacks and the 7/7 attacks. And this organization was set up in order to identify people that were at risk from radicalization and talk them around to being de-radicalized. That was what it was for eventually when it was first put in place. And of course, since then, it's become used as a way to attack people on the right wing. Sort of people that supported UKIP have been referred to Prevent. The advisor that I had in prison and outside of prison on all of this, he used to work for Prevent, and now he works for this other branch of the same overarching organization. And one of the stories he told me about was that he was called to a school for a young lad when he was working for Prevent for an intervention. And the reason why he'd been called to this school is because the young lad did not want to take the knee in the school assembly. And the first issue there is, why is there a political thing such as taking the knee? Why is that being used in assembly? They wouldn't be saying that people need to signal their support for the Reform Party, or people need to signify their support for Labour. So why were they being encouraged to show their support for a left-wing ideology, Black Lives Matter, and why were they then being singled out and targeted for refusing to take the knee? So you've got two issues there, haven't you? You've got the fact that it's being taught in school, and the second issue is that people that didn't want to take the knee were being reported to Prevent. And the advisor that I had on this, the extremism advisor, he just told them not to be so silly, and he didn't go to the school. Told them that was that was not part of what Prevent is there for. But I think that signals what a large number of these referrals to Prevent are about, probably from school teachers that are fearful for their pupils, thinking that they're susceptible to right-wing ideology because they don't want to do things like take the knee, or they don't want to show their support for Black Lives Matter, or they don't want to show their support for gay pride. And all of those things are left-wing political issues, and they really shouldn't be in the schools at all. So moving on here, as we just heard there, Prevent has come under criticism for some of these beliefs which are widely held, which it is now calling extreme right wing. I found this other article, Cultural Nationalism, Concern About Migration Listed as Right Wing Terrorist Ideology by UK Anti-Terror Programme. And I remember when this happened, this was a few months back that this news article's from. The British government's anti-terror prevent programme has listed cultural nationalism and the belief that Western culture is under threat from mass migration as being indicative of right-wing terrorist ideology. So note there that they're not saying that this isn't a genuine fear. They're not saying that this isn't an actual fact. They're saying that belief that Western culture is under threat from mass migration is indicative of right-wing terrorist ideology. So it's a terrorist ideology if you notice that white people are fast becoming a minority within their own countries. And what are they implying there? Are they implying that if you had no white people in Britain, it would still be British, it would still be Western? Quite clearly it wouldn't. If you replaced all the British people with Indians, then you would have Indian culture in the British Isles, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have Western culture anymore. You would have the culture that the people that came in brought with them. I mean, it's just common sense. And what they're saying here is that if you believe that fact, then that's indicative of right-wing terrorist ideology. And they've gone one step further from ethno-nationalism being described as, I believe they use the term adjacent. This is the word that they use to describe my offences. They said they were terrorism adjacent. And they were quite keen to stress that it wasn't actual terrorism, but it was terrorism adjacent, because they believe that you go from being concerned about migration, being concerned about criticising it and talking about it, you then go on from that to encouraging people to carry out violent attacks. Whereas my position is the opposite happens. You become concerned about it. You look at the chat boards and the forums that are online and you see the sort of language that's being used, and you use that language because you don't know any better. And as you become more educated in it, then you stop using that language and you start thinking more in terms of long-term plans and what are long-term solutions to these issues. Because you understand that, you know, there isn't going to be a violent revolution. All those things are from the past. They're not going to happen today. And every time that there is a violent revolution, the people are then left in a worse situation than they were in before. In fact, there were two revolutions. I believe there are only two revolutions that have taken place that weren't violent, that did not involve a shot being fired. One of those was the Green Revolution in Libya, led by Colonel Gaddafi, who massively increased the well-being of his people. And the second one was the National Socialist Revolution, where the National Socialists were voted into power. Both of those resulted in a revolution, but it wasn't a violent revolution. When you have a violent revolution, like the French Revolution, you end up with awful things, absolutely awful things happening. When you end up with a Bolshevik Revolution, awful things happening. And I would remind people that in our Truth Without Radio series that I did with Dennis Wise, we covered a lot of these revolutions, and that was the upshot of the whole series, really, was it's always better the devil you know. A violent revolution never leads to a situation being better than it was before. Getting back to this article here, Prevent, a scheme set up in the wake of the Islamist 7/7 London terror attacks in 2005 to de-radicalise potential terrorists. Again, it's supposed to be potential terrorists, not people that have different political views, people that think that we would be better off with an ethno-nationalist government than a civic nationalist government, but to de-radicalise potential terrorists. And what is terrorism? It's the threat of violence or actual violence towards people or property with a political motive. And as far as I'm aware, nationalists aren't advocating violence to be used to solve any of their problems. They, by the very nature of it, they're talking about political solutions or community-based solutions. It's Islam that talks about using actual violence to achieve these things. They have a word for it, jihad. There's no equivalent in nationalism that I'm aware of that means the same thing as jihad. You might get the odd individual, crazy individual that goes out and does something, goes out and does something stupid. Most of the time, these people have mental problems, and they're an extreme minority amongst nationalist groups. And the more you, the more nationalism is overground rather than underground, the more you allow people to talk about these subjects, the more you allow forums, radio stations, podcast streams, the more likely you are to prevent these sorts of attacks from happening. Because if people talk about these things and they learn somebody is thinking in that way, then they're going to talk him out of it. And the herd think is to not do things like that. But because this is all, the government likes to drive it all underground, you get people that just discover what's going on just by opening their own eyes. And because they're not aware that there's a vast number of people that also see the same thing and that have been talking about it for years, they think, well, what can we do about this? I must do something about it. It's urgent. I must do something about it. And they might go out and carry out a violent attack because they don't know any better. And then I'm sure they would live to regret it. You know, if you prevent somebody from being able to communicate, then they've got no option but to use their fists to communicate with. They can only then use body language, can't they? So clearly it's better to have people talking rather than to silence people. So this organization has gone from targeting potential terrorists to just targeting potential wrongthink, targeting people that are concerned about migration. And when this was dreamt up, I'm sure the people that debated it in Parliament, I'm sure they had no idea that it was then actually going to be used against conservative-minded people, which is essentially what cultural nationalism is. In an online training course intended for government employees at British hospitals, schools, universities, and other public institutions bound by law to flag likely extremists to the programme, prevent detailed elements which could be a sign that someone has developed an extremist right-wing terrorist ideology. In addition to white supremacism and white or ethno-nationalism, the anti-terror program listed cultural nationalism, which is defined as the belief that Western culture is under threat from mass migration and a lack of integration by certain ethnic and cultural groups. So it's civic nationalism, basically. It's what the vast majority of Conservative Party supporters would think. I should imagine that Western culture is under threat from mass migration. These popular right-wing parties like Reform, they talk about integration and a lack of integration being the problem. So you've actually got a mainstream political view represented by a mainstream political party with MPs in Parliament. And Prevent is saying that people that support that are adjacent to terrorism, and it could be a sign that someone has developed an extremist right-wing terrorist ideology. And if you're an ethno-nationalist, if you support ethno-nationalism, then quite clearly you don't just support ethno-nationalism for your own people group. You support it for all people groups. So ethno-nationalism really shouldn't be in there. I mean, you would agree that Islam shouldn't be in there, just simple Islam. Being a Muslim shouldn't mean that somebody is a possible terrorist. It's if they're an Islamist, if they support Islamic extremism, that's what makes them a terrorist. And if somebody supports ethno-nationalism, that doesn't mean that they're likely to be a terrorist, does it? It just means that they understand the importance of being among your own group. I mean, everybody understands that. All of these calls that we hear from non-white groups calling for more representation of themselves on television, on directors' boards, in music, at music festivals, all of this call for more representation is that instinctive ethno-nationalist understanding that you feel better when you're surrounded by your own people and you want to be among your own people. I mean, this is one of the best ways that you can explain nationalism to these other groups, is just to say, well, you're a Muslim, you like being amongst other Muslims, don't you? And they will agree, and they'll say, yes, I do like to be among other Muslims. It obviously, I like prefer to be amongst other Muslims. And you just say, well, I'm a white man and I prefer to be amongst other white men. Doesn't mean that you are a supremacist and you think your group is ultimately better than everyone else, because there's no real measuring stick that you can use if you're from another group. The only measuring stick you have is the measuring stick that you have for your own people, for yourself. And so if you're of one ethnicity, you really can't measure yourself up against another ethnicity. You can measure yourself up against another individual from within your own ethnicity, because you can broadly say that you've had similar chances in life, similar biological genetic chances and similar environmental chances, because they're part of the same group as you. But you can't say that about another group. Can't say that about another group that has different biology to you, that has a different average IQ to you, that has different ways of looking at procreation, that doesn't have a tradition of marriage, for instance, and two parents raising the child, that doesn't have a tradition of that. You can't then measure yourself up against that person and look down your nose at them because of them doing certain things. The only people you can measure yourself up against is your own group. So it's this idea that ethno-nationalism equates to supremacism isn't necessarily true. Critics warned that with the inclusion of such broadly held views on migration, the anti-terror scheme would become more bogged down by erroneous claims of supposed terror threats from mainstream conservatives, thereby limiting the scheme's ability to target likely Islamist terrorists. And this is the issue. All of these vast amount of resources that are going on this are being frittered away on supposed right-wing extremists while we still have Islamist attacks going on. And the amount of money that they've spent on sticking me in jail for a year and a half is phenomenal. You know, I've had a probation supervisor, a probation manager, I've had criminal psychologists, I've had the intervention from this Prevent group, the organization that's higher up than that. You've got the costs of putting somebody in prison, the cost of putting them up in prison. It must have cost them, I don't know, could have cost them more than £1 million, just to all the police hours involved in listening to my podcast and taking it all down. And in the end, they prosecuted me for language that I had stopped using in 2019 anyway. The last example they found of it was in June 2019. And in court, the detective in court admitted that they stopped monitoring Radio Albion in 2020. So a year later, they stopped monitoring the radio station. And the reason why they stopped is because it became apparent that there was no more offending on there. And the offending was using language that could be considered insulting, abusive, or threatening. And simply abbreviating the word Pakistani can be considered an insult today. So somebody who's on a jury, they could very well sympathize with your position and sympathize with the subject that you're talking about and agree with your conclusions. But if you have abbreviated the word Pakistani while doing that, then they're going to have to find you guilty of using an insulting word, a term that could be considered an insult. And if that happens, then you're going to be found guilty of inciting racial hatred. And then you're going to have to go through all this process that I've gone through, this vast amount of money, for them to say at the end of it, well, we don't think you're going to reoffend, and I haven't heard any instances of you inciting hate in these conversations that we've had. And well, that's because the last instance of this was 6 years ago. And obviously my way of expressing myself has evolved since then. And was it really necessary to have put all this in place just for me to show that I have actually refined my way of presenting these issues? Prevent has long faced critiques for failing to actually stop terror attacks while disproportionately focusing on alleged right-wing threats. Indeed, a 2023 independent government report by William Shawcross, which found that extreme right-wing ideology is often identified within PREVENT in a manner that includes populist conservative voices who have nothing to do with violent extremism. Yet when it comes to Islamism, only the most violently fascist jihadist groups appear to be identified. All the terrorist attacks across Britain committed since my review was commissioned have been Islamist in nature, Shawcross said. But far more people are now being referred to PREVENT because of extreme right-wing concerns, and the largest numbers appear to be referred because of mental health concerns and domestic and social vulnerabilities. And that's interesting, because another group that I should have mentioned there that was paid to manage me while I was on licence, there was a detective inspector who was also there during the probation meetings. And he mentioned that a lot of these issues, a lot of these people that are so-called extremists have mental health problems. In fact, the majority of them have mental health problems. And I mean, that's what is being confirmed here. The largest number appear to be referred because of mental health concerns and domestic and social vulnerabilities. The report also noted that over half of the terror attacks since 2016 had been committed by individuals who were known to the PREVENT programme, meaning that they had failed in their aim of de-radicalisation. This trend continued last year, with Axel Rudakabana, the second-generation migrant who committed a mass stabbing at a children's dance party in Southport, killing three young girls and injuring 10 others. Rudakabana had been reported to PREVENT on three separate occasions prior to committing the horrific attack, yet was dismissed as a threat by authorities each time. So every time that he went to see them, I think they looked at their tick boxes and they said, well, this guy's anti-white. And they may not have explicitly said this guy's anti-white, but because he was anti-white, well, that doesn't come up in any of the tick boxes, does it? So he doesn't actually fit into any of those boxes. And you can't really say that his attack was terrorism, unless you admit that he was anti-white. And then you could say, well, the political motive was to hurt white people for perceived harms caused against black people by white people. And I think that was the issue. But because it's just commonly accepted now that we should blame white people for everything, there's no tick box there for anti-white extremism. And just off the top of my head, I'm just remembering another one here that took place in America, when this black guy got in a vehicle and ran down, mowed down a Christmas parade. I momentarily forget the name of the place where it happened, and I don't know if he killed people. He certainly maimed a large number of them, dancing grannies, all sorts. And his social media feed was full of anti-white hatred. And it was quite obvious that this is why he carried out the attack. And he wasn't even prosecuted with hate crimes for it, because it's just accepted as normal to be anti-white. Yet they really need to have that tick box there, anti-white. And this instance here, I think, with this Rudakabana, that proves it. There have also been warnings that by classifying cultural nationalism as an indication of extremism, the anti-terror scheme could be used to stifle public debate. And of course, some people will say, well, that's actually the motive behind this, isn't it? It's to censor the debate. Is to prevent people from speaking their mind. It's to prevent people from talking about these issues. But of course, what that results in, as I was pointing out earlier, if you stop people from being able to talk about a subject, then they're going to have to draw attention to themselves in another way, aren't they? And they're going to have to use body language, which inevitably means using their fists, which means using violence. And of course, I don't want that. I think it's much better to talk about these subjects. And I think these two articles today are interesting articles, which sort of show you that the problems that come up when you're trying to de-radicalise individuals, when you widen the net too far, and instead of going for people that are actually likely to carry out terrorism, you end up going for people that are the babies of prosecuted actual terrorists, or people that are quite simply just conservative-minded and just hold mainstream conservative views, the same reviews as Reform. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.